In the name of Jesus, our heavenly bridegroom, dear family and friends of Norm Schmeckpepper, especially dear Ellie and family. Family is such a precious, priceless blessing. And I knew that Norm loved his family, but realized all the more after the precious hours I got to spend with you why he treasured family so much. As an only child and raised by his grandfather, to see the generations come, oh, that makes you treasure family. Losses like that tend to make us see the value of things that other people normally would take for granted. And it certainly was interesting to me, because I had a very close relationship with my own grandfather, to hear that as an only child, it was Norm's grandfather that raised him. Isn't that sweet when you hear that great-great-grandpa Schmeckpepper saw this young woman, Eleonora, and told his grandson, she's the one for you. And nearly 70 years of marriage later, the wisdom of that dear old man in all these generations and the grace of God, how does it get better than that? But it does. From an earthly standpoint, that would be a tremendous blessing. I got to see something even better. Because in those precious hours at his bedside that the Lord gave us together, I got to hear this question come up again and again. What will heaven be like? The Schmeckpepper family is living up to its name. In German, Schmeckpepper means great-tasting peppers. And this family has a taste for heaven, because the focus was there. More than any family I've been with before, and I've been with some dear Christian families, what will heaven be like? So we went through Revelation 21 and 22, and then I wish we'd have recorded that. Could we say it again? Well, it would be recorded today. My notes will be on the website as best I can put them. You can listen again at what the Lord tells us, because what he's doing is lifting our sights up from this awful earth that we live in. And he tells it in Revelation. It's why people get scared away from that book. The camera's down for a while on all the plagues and the awfulness of life here. But through this revelation to his apostle John in exile on Patmos Island, the Lord Jesus lifts the camera up and opens the curtain and lets us see what heaven's like. In Revelation, the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22. Then I saw seven visions in this one vision on a Sunday afternoon. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea, which is why we have such strange weather even this far inland. No longer any sea in heaven. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Oh, does that fit the family? That sweet, sweet love is what Jesus has for his church that he calls here the bride. And if he put his name on you in your baptism, he's already loving you with an everlasting love. And he wants you to keep the faith until the end. And if you haven't had it before, get it today from this dear Holy Spirit who says he died for all. He wants you in his kingdom to be his bride. Because he longs for us, Jesus said to his disciples, we heard that from John 14, I'm going away, but I'm coming back because I want you to be with me. And this in Revelation 21 is where he's with us. Like a bride, he says. John says, I heard a voice, a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. Literally, now the tent of God is with men, and he will tent with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. In the ancient nation of Israel, in Moses' law, God gave a command. It was the law. You could not work. Vacation was mandatory at this time of the year, the harvest time in the fall. Everybody had to leave their home and go out and live in shelters. It was like a national camping party. Moses' law. Don't tell me the God of the Old Testament was an angry old God. He was filled with love. He's the eternal God. You go camping, you enjoy this time with your family, and you be with God. Tent with Him. Like that visible presence of the Lord in that tent that He commanded Moses to build out in the tabernacle in the desert. And they were supposed to celebrate this all the time in the promised land, looking forward to the time when God would tent with us. And guess what? The Word became flesh. Remember that from John chapter 1? The Word, the eternal incarnate Word of God, took on flesh and blood through the womb of the Virgin Mary, and it literally says, tented with us. It's the same word as used here in the original Greek. Jesus came and tented with us so that in heaven we could, following Jesus, know that God would be tenting with us forever. Vacation forever. National camping trip with the people of God. And no mosquitoes, no hunger, no pain. He says, they will be with God, and He will be Himself with them and be their God, and He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Sometimes you get done with a vacation and you need a vacation to recover from your vacation, right? It's tiring. In heaven, never end. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. That's all passed away. And then Jesus Himself speaks in verse 5. He's seated on the throne. He's got that power. He was crucified. He rose. He ascended. He is in the place that He rules all things. And we walk by faith, not by sight. We can't always see it. But His Word tells us, I am making everything new. Then He said, believe this. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I know a world of scholars and a world of scoffers laugh at this and make fun of Christians who believe this old book. They just don't know the half of it. It's older than any other book. It goes back from Genesis through Revelation. It's the same Holy Spirit who gave it. I'm quoting from John. I'm quoting from Revelation. I'm showing you from the Old Testament. All this is the same intelligence behind this book of books. Written over 1,600 years on three continents in three different languages by over 50 writers, and they all say the same thing. In my years of ministry, I have dared people to show me one error in the Scripture. And when they show me the place where they think there's an error, I wonder if they can read. There are no errors in the Scripture. Not the way He gave it in the Hebrew and the Greek original. You can trust God's Word. He says, Jesus said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last letter, the A to Z in the Greek alphabet. I am the beginning and the end, the eternal Son of God. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. That's what we feel when we come to funerals sometimes. It's our thirst. When our babies were little, my mom said, you know, sometimes you've burped them, you've diapered them, you've fed them, and they're still crying. Give them some water. I never would have thought of that. They're just thirsty, but they can't tell you. And when we're thirsty, we can't tell what we need. But it's the water of life that what you need in your heart of hearts. He says, just come and drink. It's the word that we're hearing here. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. All the little boys and girls who put their trust in Jesus, get the full rights of sons. The eternal inheritance with God. He does not discriminate. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, don't think everybody goes to heaven. They're lying when they say that. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. I'm the way. And it says here, their place, that's the fiery lake of burning sulfur, the second death. We all go through the first death. But those who trust in Jesus will never suffer the second death. Basically, God is giving people what they want. They want to try to exist without Him. There's no life, there's no joy, there's no peace without God. So he finally says to them, "Thy will be done." See, there's two kinds of people in the world. There's the ones who say to God, "Thy will be done," and there are the ones to whom God says, "Thy will be done." And hell is the eternal, "Thy will be done" from God. One of the seven angels, usually seven is standing for judgment, and these seven angels with seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, that's scary. Judgment against the unbelievers in this sinful world. But this one comes with the seven of judgment and acquittal. He says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So now a different picture. In the opening verses of Revelation, it tells us this is picture language. Now a different picture. There's this city, this new Jerusalem, which on earth was called a city of bloodshed. Violent city. It has been from ancient times. But in heaven, holy city, dressed like a bride to meet her bridegroom. He carried me away to that mountain, and that city in heaven shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. Can't find a jasper like that on this earth, can you? Oh, but look what they use it for. Had a great high wall with 12 gates, 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Old and New Testament, 12 means the people of God, 12 tribes, 12 apostles. It's Old and New Testament. But there were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. When they were out there in the desert with Moses, and the tabernacle was in the middle of all 12 tribes, there were three in all four directions. And heaven is pictured like that, with God living in his personal presence. But now there are these gates. You know anything about ancient cities? They really had to protect the gates. That's the most vulnerable spot. You'd lower the number of gates to protect the city. But here we have three gates in every direction. So north, south, east, and west, people can come from everywhere. And only those who trust in Jesus can get in, because those gates are guarded by holy, invincible angels of God. 12 angels at those gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations. Now there's a solid city. And on them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it is wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. So it was a cube. The number 12, again, the people of God living there. 10 is the number of completion in the Bible, only it's the triple complete. 10 times 10 times 10 times 12 is 12,000. If you put this in human terms, you're talking, well, the footnote says 14,000 miles. No, 1,400 miles. What city on earth is over 1,000 miles wide and long and high? But that's the New Jerusalem. It's huge. And people from all the tribes and nations will come there. The city's a perfect cube. He measured the wall, and that's a 12 times 12 cubits thick. By man's measurement, which the angel was using, the wall was made of jasper. The city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. We pay big bucks for this on earth. They use it for decoration in heaven. And the pavement, the first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. We don't know if those are all the right names, but you get the point. What we use on earth that's so expensive here, they use for cement and pavement in heaven. It's so rich and awesome. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass, like no gold here on this earth. And it's used to pave the city, the main street in heaven. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. We come to the Lord's house. Sometimes the little kids cry because they don't want to go home, if you can believe that. I tell the kids in catechism class there are older people that cry when they can't go to church because they're not healthy anymore. Norm felt that way often. We get to taste here by faith through word and sacrament what it's like to be with Jesus. But then we got to go back to that cruel world out there. In heaven, we'll always be with Jesus. And there won't be any change on that. That sweet, sweet face of our heavenly lover of our souls. There forever. And see, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb is its lamp. Jesus is all the light that you need there. The nations, that's all the ethnic groups, will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Queen Elizabeth of England once said that she hoped she could be alive come the judgment day because she really wanted to lay her crown at the feet of Jesus. Every believing monarch or ruler will do that in awe and wonder, and those who rejected him in unbelief will do it in terror because he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He says, on no day will its gates ever be shut, for there's no night there. So get this. You got 12 gates all pointed in all the different directions. That's tremendous security in a city that's got this huge foundation, and the city is just huge beyond belief. And there's angels guarding every single gate. But the gates are never shut. And there's no night there. Because in spite of all that absolute awesome security with God, there are no enemies. There's no threat. Death itself has been thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. He said that before. No enemies. Absolute security. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. If you're baptized in Jesus' name, your name is written there. And I can tell you this absolutely for true too. If you just wish you could believe, God has already turned you around. Because if you had a hard, stubborn, unbelieving heart, you wouldn't care. You'd be busy doing something else whenever God's word was proclaimed. But he says it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And if you want to believe, then just keep hearing God's word. And he comes sweetly, softly, lovingly, and builds that confidence and that hope. And you'll believe. It's the power of this word that does it. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Another apocalyptic book in the Old Testament was Ezekiel, and there was a river that flowed out from Jerusalem. Ezekiel kept following the angel, and they kept going farther and farther from the city, and the river got deeper and deeper until it was a river that no one could cross. That river flows down Center Street in heaven. And on both sides of the river is the tree that Adam and Eve in the garden rejected. He told them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed, brought death and suffering into the world, and God drove them out of the garden. Because if they had then taken and eaten from the tree of life, they would have been stuck on this earth in death, separated from God. And God doesn't want that for anyone. But in heaven, just bumper crop, month after month, and everyone gets to eat of the tree, drink from the water of life. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse of death. It's gone. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Oh, I don't want to work so hard in heaven, people say. And I say, oh, really? You ever have a cabin up north or a boat or something that you really like to do, hang gliding or something? That's work. That's the work of heaven. It's vacation with God. That's work. He loves to see his children enjoy themselves. That's the work of serving God in heaven. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. That name above all names, the saving name of Jesus, and that means you belong to him, and he belongs to you. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever, serving God while reigning. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. I know some people say, I can't believe that. Well, it's true. It's true because God said it and God does not lie. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, all the way back to Moses and the book of Job. Same Holy Spirit, the Lord, telling them all what to write. He sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. You're looking into the future. What will heaven be like? How sweet can it be? And then Jesus speaks. Behold, I am coming soon. Spotlight right on Jesus. I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. That means guarding this word as your most sacred treasure. Don't let anybody tell you it's a lie or your heart to lie to you. Guard it. Keep it. Treasure it. And John writes, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. Oops. He did that before. And he gets scolded. He gets scolded by the angel. The angel said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep that as guard and treasure the words of this book. Worship God. You don't worship the angels, you worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book because the time is near. And believe me, it's nearer now than it was when this was written. God just doesn't want anybody to be destroyed. That's why the earth goes on. He says that in 2 Peter. He just wants people to repent and turn to Jesus. And if he ended anything too soon, people would not turn to Jesus. So he's giving us today. He says, do not seal up the words. The time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. I pray to God that no vile, unholy person will reject this word of God and continue, and then at the last trumpet be sealed in that wickedness. That's separation from God too. Again, Jesus speaks, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And all the good Christians say we don't deserve rewards from God. And God says, yes, I know. But like a grandfather who says, she's the one for you, and then sees his grandson love her, he rewards that with joy as we rejoice to reward our children. He just loves to bless. And he loves to hear. Again, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed. Blessed means you got God on your side. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and go through the gates into the city. Sinners like pastors even get to come. I'm always amazed at God's grace. Look at the sinners in the Bible. God invited them all. No one is excluded. Come to Jesus and wash your robes. Let him put on you that wedding dress. Bright, beautiful, white, and wonderful. His righteousness, his holiness. God says it's perfect, and when he sees you, that's all he sees, when you trust in Jesus. Outside, warning again, there are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And that would be pastors who lie and deceive by God's name too. God help us. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you the testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take of the free gift of the water of life. That's all God wants. Just come, drink, and live. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. It's, by the way, a warning that's in the beginning of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible too, and now it is in the end here. If anyone adds anything to these words, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace, of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. His undeserved love and kindness and forgiveness be with you all. Amen.